Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Will the Browns be staying in Cleveland after all? Bit of a turn of events. At least according to some, over the last few days, we had a deadline that has come and passed, and I think still a lot of confusion about the future home of your Cleveland Browns. And to talk about that and so much more on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we welcome in straight out of Ward 6, Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin right now joins us on the hotline. How are you, Blaine? What's going on?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing today?
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and we are just trying to make sense of this to a lot of our listeners and obviously a lot of Browns fans, your constituents, those that live in Cuyahoga County and those in the region with the latest. Right now, would you say that if you were a betting man, that the odds are that the Browns are actually going to stay in Cleveland and right on the lakefront?
If I was a betting man, I'd say yes. And for several reasons, not just because I'm biased and believe that the lakefront is the ideal location for this stadium to be, but because of the economics, because of the uncertainties, because of the lack of clarity of which governmental entities will back the bonds and the other things needed in order to finance the Brook Park deal. I know that there's a lot of conversation about innovative financing, but I would tell you it had to be not only innovative financing, it'd have to be a lot of will in order to make that happen, and I'm not sure if that's there. I respect the Haslam family. I know that they want a legacy project as something special for their fan experience in the city of Cleveland, and I respect that. But I've learned a long time ago, guys, that you never get upset with a person that is there to represent the constituency that they're here to represent. And I'm here to represent Cleveland. So my bet is for the lakefront, and that's what I'm riding on.
Blaine Griffin, Cleveland City Council President, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You said lack of clarity. What would you like to clarify or need clarification on when it comes to that financing?
Brook Park couldn't do this by itself. And I had an inkling a couple of weeks ago, which is why I was really working with all of the leaders in the region to try to say, hey, it might be time for us to either go talk to the Haslam Sports Group and the leadership or just make a joint statement to say, hey, we want it downtown on the lakefront. Oh, and by the way, Cleveland's still part of the county, and the county probably doesn't have the ability to back it. Well, the county wanted to wait for a while for several reasons, but don't think that Brook Park can do this by themselves. The county has said that they're not going to back it. The state, I don't think, has the capacity, because if the state had to back the bonds and to back up this deal and put more money into this deal, then they would have to do the same thing for the Cincinnati Reds or whoever comes in front of them for these kind of deals in the future. So a lot of people are at a position where they respect the Haslam Sports Group, but, you know, is there the public financing structure to really do this? Or, quite frankly, the will. And I think on both fronts, I'm not sure if Brook Park is where everybody wants to throw their gauntlet down to say that we're willing to put the public's finances on the line here.
Blaine Griffin with us on the show. Without mentioning tradition, I can sit there and talk about tradition, and so can Lima. You're a mover and a shaker. Without mentioning tradition, why is keeping the stadium on the lakefront in downtown Cleveland right for the cities or citizens of the county and right for the citizens of the city and the surrounding businesses as well?
Too much has been invested in the Central Business District, and this is where it's very important for everybody to understand. It's not just the money that the stadium generates. It's the businesses that have taken risks to move into that area. I know some people say, oh, well, it's only 8 to 12 games a year. Yeah, that might be the case, but those 8 to 12 games a year are a significant bump that might mean about 40 to 50% of that business's income for the year. So that, then the infrastructure that we put in place, and the experience that we tried to build to make Cleveland a destination, which is why we're attracting so many more conventions and other things to the city, because it's not just the Browns that you're experiencing when you come to the city of Cleveland. You have the Science Center, you have the Rock Hall, you have our arts and cultural districts. You have all of these different amenities that have made Cleveland's Central Business District a special place. And everybody that comes, even the AES or whatever that's called that's in town now, the Association of Executive of the people that bring the conventions to cities, they're saying, wow. I talked to Dave Gilbert and met with him yesterday. They're like, people are just floored by what they're seeing in Cleveland. When actors and actresses come here, they're saying this is like California, and people give a bad rap for Cleveland, but we have really turned the corner on our Central Business District. And even if the Browns left, it would probably take us about 10 to 15 years to reset the downtown business district. Now, I don't know where you guys are going to be, but I hope to be somewhere having a cocktail on a beach, watching the game and having a good time, not trying to, trying to figure out what we're going to do for, you know, lakefront for the future. I think that it's something that, we put too much into the Central Business District and downtown, and the Browns are a critical piece of that. So that's just my feel. However, I'm one of those guys that I will work with anybody. And if the Haslams or the mayor of Brook Park and others wanted to get in the room and lock ourselves in the room and say, let's figure it out. And maybe if Brook Park is something that we talk about, you know, and I'm just throwing this out there, land swaps or other things, then I'll be willing to have conversations. But I just think it's going to be too cumbersome to do that. And the lakefront is the best ideal place to do this.
You mentioned land swap. Is there a possibility of a land swap with the city of Brook Park that would make that the city of Cleveland that land?
I don't know, and I know I might have started a controversy, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know the mayor of Brook Park, but he seems like a very reasonable person that, you know, we wouldn't want to overwhelm and inundate them. Listen, it's $90,000 just to cover the police on the game day alone. I don't know how many police Brook Park has, but we struggle to send police down there to start the cover game day now with the shortages that we have. So to have, you know, that kind of burden on your community, I mean, that's something they really need to think about. And this is where regional partnership and regional collaboration may come in. So I respect the mayor of Brook Park. I would never overstep. But if people wanted to lock themselves in a room and see if that was a possibility, I'm a guy that never turns my back on a good deal. So it would have to be something that's special, have to be something that benefits Cleveland, and have to be something that everybody is working towards. But right now, I don't see that effort. So therefore, I'm pushing the lakefront.
Blaine Griffin, Cleveland City Council President, joining us on the hotline. So one thing that unfortunately happens to regions when there is talk of new stadiums, we're seeing this in Chicago, couple states over, with whether or not they'd be going to the suburbs, is oftentimes it can appear as if a team has pitted cities, municipalities, counties against each other to try to jockey for position and gain negotiating power to get what the team ultimately wants. What do you think? I know that the Haslams have presented their incredible renderings for the facility in Brook Park. What do you think ultimately the Haslams are looking for, and what have they come to people like you or the mayor, if they've come to you at all, to talk about these things in a way of transparency?
Everybody wants regional alignment. Everybody wants regional collaboration. I actually happen to think that you have that. And I really wish we would have gotten out in front of this 2 or 3 weeks ago, like I really was encouraging several people to do, from the corporate community, from the civic and philanthropic community, to say, hey, we need to make a statement about what we really want, because the Haslams are making it clear that they intend to go to Brook Park. And we need to really sit down and have a conversation on what the downtown central business district and how this would impact it, and what are the economics, and really have a hard conversation. Because once again, these are people who are invested in our city, and I respect the fact that they're putting their own money into making the city work. But I do think you have alignment, with the exception of Brook Park and Mayor Olcott, who I think has been put in a tough position, because how do you say that you don't want to bring a very big economic boom and a big uplift to your city and to your area? However, when you see the county executive, the mayor, the county council president, and the city council president, along with the majority leader and the minority whip, that have said we want it in the downtown central business district, then I kind of think that that's a message. And, you know, I'm the type that I always want to work things out with the business owner, with the Haslam Sports Group. But I think it's kind of alignment. And, you know, a lot of people like domes, and, you know, a lot of people have a lot of conversations. But when you're in the process of making decisions, you have to make sure that the economics are right. You have to make sure that everybody's comfortable with how we want to move forward. And you have to make sure that, once again, that the corporate person that's in the room, that they feel like they're not being disrespected. And that's the one thing I think is unfortunate about this. I don't want this to be an us against them. I want this to be a us. How can we pull this off and collaborate and work together?
Blaine, if the Haslams came back to whatever bargaining table exists, if there is one, and they came up with a better way, in some minds, to fund this endeavor, would city council still stand in the way?
What I have just told you is I think all of us are flexible. I think all of us never get into absolutes. I don't think that's a good thing as a politician, because when you make a decision, I'm slow to make a definitive yes or no, because I always leave the door open that if somebody can't convince me that the economics work, then we can have a conversation. However, they also have to help me understand how the economics are going to work for the massive investments that we made downtown that we believe will be jeopardized if we lose a major economic driver like the Cleveland Browns. Let's take the spirit of what that would mean to take a team away from a city that's been so loyal to it so long, and what that means, and that iconic institution means to the city of Cleveland. Let's take the morale out of it. If the economics don't work for the downtown central business district and for our tax dollars, then I can't go for it. So those are the conversations I have to have. I don't have the luxury to talk about this as just a glorified fan. I have the responsibility to make a sound, fair decision on behalf of the taxpayers of the city of Cleveland. That's my constituency, 372,674 people that sit on my board of directors that talk to me regularly about their needs and want in this community. And I'm just really working closely with them.
Blaine Griffin, Cleveland City Council President, joining us on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You personally, what do you endorse, a new stadium or a renovation of the current one?
Well, there's some very dynamic renderings for the stadium downtown. And I will tell you that
you've seen Blaine, you've seen renderings?
There's renderings for downtown, yes.
Okay.
And everybody is aware that there are renderings for downtown. And, you know, and I, you know, think that the renderings that they put downtown, you know, make it a very competitive, compelling stadium as well. And at some point in time, it'd be great to see if they you know, release or talk about some of those renderings. And one of the things that I'm not a big fan of is negotiating in public. And the unfortunate part about this that I think, and that's why it's great for me to sit back as the Cleveland City Council president and insert myself when it's time, because I'm not in charge of negotiations. The administration and the Browns are at the table for those negotiations. They bring the deal to me afterwards. But I will tell you that there is backup plans and renderings that I think are very compelling. This, they have a very nice venue downtown. And you know, let's face it, in the last 10 stadium deals that I've studied across the nation, even if you look at Kansas City, the city hasn't been the sole driver of the economics around it. So that's why the county being a partner is important, and that's why the statement that they made the other day is so important. But everybody knows that there's renderings and things that can show a very state-of-the-art stadium downtown that we believe can work as well.
I think that's something – Blaine Griffin joining us, Cleveland City Council President. I think that's something that might be – confusing to the regular listener right now, or to the citizen fan, probably a mix of all three. You're not negotiating. That is on the mayor. I haven't really seen the mayor. I've seen you. Why?
Because in this job, I've learned a long time ago, and I don't speak for the mayor. You have to ask the mayor himself what his visibility is. We're an independent branch of government, and I take that very serious. And I've made it clear from day one that council is going to have a seat at the table for any major economic deals or any major decisions made in this city. Therefore, I felt that it's been important to render our opinion whenever things pop up, which is why we made the statement we did last week to say that, hey, we believe it should be in the downtown central business district. And we left it up to the county to say whether or not they could do the economics or financial. In this business, this role that we have as public officials, your best ability is your availability. So I always try to make myself available to the public, even when they disagree with me. In this job, you get more F-U's than thank you's, but that's okay. At the end of the day, I always make myself available. I don't duck anybody.
Does the city have a mechanism in place to prevent this move to Brook Park if the county finds a way to make it happen and the Haslams want it to happen?
Council's passed a resolution a few months back. My colleague, Councilman Brian Casey, introduced a resolution basically doubling down to say, hey, we have this Modell rule in place that was put in place when the Browns left before, that there has to be some serious measures taken before the city would even agree. And the council does have a role that we would have to vote on. So we anticipate that the city and the law department, as long as this state law is in place, is going to follow that state law. And, you know, we hope that our state delegation takes our lead. And that's something that we believe is necessary. Then we'll do that. But once again, I'm not at the point where this is an antagonistic negotiation between me and the Haslams. I'm more trying to find out how we can find a path to make sure that this credible institution, this phenomenal institution that we all love called the Cleveland Browns, stays in the city of Cleveland, or at least the city of Cleveland can continue to benefit from it for future, for years to come.
Blaine, final one for me. Is there any indication that voters are truly going to have a seat at the table here, be it Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, the region in general? Will there ever be public hearings on this, or is this just going to get sorted out by the powers that be?
Once they put the negotiation together and the mayor and the team come up with terms and they present something to us legislatively, that's when it's our show. And yes, we're going to be able to have, you know, the public. We serve a public that's not shy. There's going to be no shortage of opinions, and council will be on the front line, and we won't be able to go to grocery stores or gas stations without people soliciting or giving their unsolicited opinion. So our job is going to be in place when they bring a proposal to us. And I will tell you, we're going to look at things like, how do we get a return on our investment? We want to understand some hard to find information, like what is the economic impact to the entire area? I just met with Dave Gilbert yesterday from Destination Cleveland, and he has a dynamic document that shows how each event that he and his team have brought to the city of Cleveland through the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission generate dollars, and the city of Cleveland is having a return on its income. Those are things that we want to make sure we show the public. We want to show the public, which is why we put an ambitious community benefits agreement in place. How are the jobs going to work on the place? How are we going to make sure that we have peace agreements and other things in place with labor unions and PLAs in order to make sure that we have fairness in the project. So these are things that we've already put in place as council to protect the public's investments and make sure that we get a good return on investment. And we're all going to work hard together. And I will say this. The Browns have been very communicative with me. I've talked with Mr. and Mrs. Haslam several times. I've talked with Mr. Jenkins and Mr. Twing several times. So my relationship with them is not toxic. I want to make sure that the Browns are here. I just have an opinion, and I have a right to have an opinion, that I believe they should be in the downtown Central Business District.
If it's a new stadium, roof or no roof?
Well, let me say this to you. I know you said don't talk about traditionalists, but I've sat down there in those zero-degree weathers, and it gives us a competitive advantage over some people. And even if you do get a dome, you may get a Super Bowl every 20 years. You may get a Final Four every 20 to 25 years. You may get a Taylor Swift concert somewhere like that. I think the hard part, and I don't want to blame my forerunners and leadership, but I think we really missed the boat when we didn't.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Do two things. We didn't cluster build right in that section, right by Gateway. The Brown Stadium should have been right there, where we should have had the lakefront available for development a long time ago. And number two, we should have tried to package the convention center and also the Brown Stadium back then, because we all knew that we were going to need both. And now we could have had one big facility where it would have been the Brown Stadium, probably in the Central Business District, and we could have maybe moved it away from the lakefront. So this is why these kind of deals are so important, because we're not just making a decision that's going to affect us in the next 3 to 5 years. We're making a decision that's going to affect Cleveland for the next 25, 30, 40, 50 years. And that's why we take this very serious.
Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin. Blaine, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Thank you, guys, and keep on educating our community. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Blaine Griffin, the Cleveland City Council President on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I don't know how much education my voice provides, but either way. We have, we might have audio. I know we're turning around real quick here. We asked Blaine Griffin, Lima, you kind of stoked my fire over this. Like a land swap deal with Brook Park? Because there's a lot of people. Not even the head honchos and things like that within the city of Cleveland. But there's a lot of people going, hey, you going to get the fire and paramedics that you need? You going to get the police officers that you need? Do you have the infrastructure that you need for all that? And a lot of people are going, hey, it's a town of 18,000. I don't know if Brook Park has that. So one of the things that have been brought up is a land swap, do you want to say? Possibly a land swap deal. There's 176 acres there. We just had Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin on. We asked him that question. This is what Blaine had to say.
I'm a guy that never turns my back on a good deal. So it would have to be something that's special, have to be something that benefits Cleveland, and have to be something that everybody is working towards. But right now, I don't see that effort. So therefore, I'm pushing the lakefront.
Your thoughts on that?
First of all, I want to thank Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin for coming on to begin with.
Yeah.
At times over the years, sometimes it can be tough to get politicians. And right now, he was very accessible.
For a sports talk station, how often do we want to hear from him?
Yeah, but even in the times that we wanted them, it can be tough to track down. And so we really appreciate him coming on, talking to not only his constituents, his listeners, and our listeners as well, and sports fans, because a lot of us want to know. With all of that said, I did find it very interesting. To me, the one highlight of that was we are not going to let the Browns leave. But if they're going to leave and go to Brook Park, we will talk about some sort of a land swap because there's no way you guys can handle the Cleveland Browns. That was my takeaway of that. And basically, we're going to be compensated for it. You know, we have an agreement. He talked about one of his colleagues on the city council, Brian, I can't remember his name.
Brian Casey.
Yeah, Casey.
When I lived there, he had just got elected in West Park.
I remember he had just passed through a provision to keep the Browns in Cleveland. And so there's going to be a question about the legalities of that and whether it would hold up in court. But I think the moral of the story is, you know, he says he's talked to the Haslams, but it didn't sound like city council, if I read him correctly, didn't sound like city council was thrilled at all. They feel like they've been blindsided by this, and they want to make sure that the city is compensated because this would be a significant loss in their estimation. Now, we can get into the nitty-gritty details on, like, I think if the Browns played in Brook Park, that's not curtains for all the businesses downtown. There's so few days
the
anyway.
The 10 to 15 years is true. I mean, that is something there. Yeah, I know you said there's so few days. I don't mean to rip you off there, but the 10 to 15 years about rebuilding the business central business district, the retail business district, is true.
And
you want something that draws people to that area.
Well, listen, if they just, and I've seen how this works in other cities, if they get Super Bowls or one Super Bowl, if they get the big Taylor Swift concerts, if they get the Final Four, if they get the WrestleMania, guys, downtown is going to be crazy. They're going to have hotels that are, there will be new hotel builds downtown. They will have events downtown. That's how this works. When the Super Bowl is in South Florida, it's in Miami Gardens. It's halfway between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. There are events in all three areas.
Mm-hmm.
There will be tons of, it's not going to deprive downtown of anything. I don't buy that.
I've actually.
It's not how it works in other places.
I haven't been to Miami as many times as you have, obviously. But I've been to both, and Miami Gardens is out there. Miami Gardens is like, you know how like Richfield Coliseum was there? Miami Gardens is almost like it would be, it feels like it's to Akron, except it's slower because I don't think there's any really great way to get out there. There really is not.
When the Super Bowl is in Glendale or the national championship is in Glendale, the events are still in Scottsdale and Phoenix. Like,
yes.
They still have, it doesn't rob those downtowns of any of that stuff. That's just not how it works.
Go ahead.
Well, just as an example, you know, when we had the MLB All-Star Game here in 2019 or the NBA All-Star Game in 2022, so MLB All-Star Game was a big outdoor event that happened from like the Thursday before Tuesday's game, right, where Mall B and Mall C, they had a bunch of stuff set up. If they were to turn what is now Cleveland Browns Stadium area, the lakefront, and make it like a Navy Pier type of area that's in Chicago with some sort of retail business, but it's really more of a tourist destination type of thing. And they brought WrestleMania to Cleveland. All of the events that lead up that week before are still going to be over where they were going to be anyway.
They're not going to be in Brook Park. So I don't want to get bogged down in that. I'm just saying that, you know, Cleveland is going to want to get something out of this. That's how a negotiation works. They feel that the county and right now the Browns are doing everything they can to get out of, you know, or people in the county, not everybody, because we heard Chris Ronayne, but they feel like the team is going to be ripped from them, and they want to make sure that they are still generating what they had generated before, which is the parking, which is the admissions taxes, which is, you know, all of that stuff is still going to be a part of the city. They don't want to be ripped of that. I understand.
Just build two domes, and they'll play in both like the Packers used to do in Milwaukee years ago. It's that simple. In seriousness, though, I asked him if he preferred out dome or no dome. There's a point to that where I am so tired of hearing about the weather advantage. Anybody who knows football, and this is what you're speaking to sports guys, don't use that in the future. We know their record at the stadium in the past. You get better players, you play better in the weather. You have better players, you play even better in the dome. That doesn't matter about anything. And dome has a bad connotation to it. Maybe we need to say roof and it would sound better. I'm not sure. He mentioned the renderings. Now, Lima, what are the renderings that are there public renderings that I haven't seen? Like, I've seen a couple on some of the blogs that, like, some people have brought up, but, like, the Browns was an official, this is what the rendering is, this is our website, this way. Does the city have an official rendering?
I thought there was a renovation rendering that had come out in the past. Maybe we'll look on and see. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Lima, I've seen the actual facility rendering. All we've seen is map locations,
yeah,
right?
I've seen things that look like the Game of Life buildings. Like, I need to see. You got to excite the people.
Yeah. So, they have not put, but you could tell the difference. They have not done anything like they did with the Brook Park show. I mean, that was a show. That was an experience. That also was adjoined with like 1,000 words from the Browns to their season ticket holders and their fans. You've not seen that with the renovation.
And I do appreciate Blaine Griffin, though, for giving his time. Because I had to ask, where's the mayor in all this? Because kind of have to get a sidebar with him and then force in a question. That's about the most he's willing to do. Which, hey, if you want to be tight-lipped, that's fine. But you kind of got to tell some people what's going on here every now and then about what it is. And so if he's willing to come on, if Blaine Griffin's willing to come on, I salute that. I'll give him that. There's things I agreed with and didn't agree with in the interview, but at least he came on. Because I think a lot of people are confused now. If he's the one doing the negotiations, and he said we have to approve it. He's not the one actually doing the negotiations. But he's the one who always has to speak about it. Hell, they just showed him up on the news that he's speaking about it. So what do you think? You want to keep the stadium in downtown? You want to move out to Brook Park and probably have a land swap maybe? There's a lot I just kind of flippantly said right there, wasn't there?
What do you think of when you hear the term land swap? That seems so old-fashioned.
It does. It seems that I'm going to go with a basket of vegetables, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to meet at a table here, and then we will drink mead over it, and that's what's going
to
happen.
To the box office with a goat and go, 2 tickets, please.
Yes.
Load up the Conestoga wagon, and here we go.
That's how it should be done. It should be somewhere in the charter. You have to do the covered wagon, and you have to go on over there.
We're
going to
test you
meet.
For typhoid, though.
Yes. Just don't get the dysentery. It ruins the whole game. sorry. I didn't mean to do that. 216-474-0092. Dan and Amherst, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay, Dan. Go right on ahead.
Okay, I believe the gentleman is out of his league, and he's basically offended that it didn't come to him first. I believe when he used the term me and my, tells you where that gentleman is
offended.
At.
Offended? Well, that's a strong word to use, offended. I think he was maybe taken aback, but remember, now let me say this here, Dan. On his behalf, he's not negotiating for this, so there could have been a point where he just got shut off, or the city might have just got shut off, or the city shut out the Browns, and the Browns go, okay, we'll just release this, and away we go. And he might not be privy to all that stuff.
Well, you can see his ego got in the way.
He's a politician. I mean, politicians have egos.
Yeah, in that rendering he's talking about, it was made by a guy 40 years ago, and he's now 85. Channel 3 News did a story on the guy.
Oh, wait, are you talking about the guy?
No, this is not the same
thing. Oh, Dan, that can't be the same. That can't be the same rendering he's talking about. There's no way anybody would go to the media with that rendering. The guy who put it out in the lake?
Yeah,
no.
The guy who said put it out in the lake.
No, if it is,
no,
then...
that's the only rendering of a new stadium plan since 31.
I imagine one of the two things, Dan, and thank you very much for the call. Either he was talking about the one with basically the nameless gray buildings and the land bridge that was there that doesn't really show much. It just looks like it was made out of clay or cardboard boxes.
Well,
or the other
know.
One would be something that we haven't even seen
right.
yet, is
we
what
don't
I'm
know
thinking.
If the public has seen a rendering or there's been renderings somewhere else.
No offense to the guy that tried to put the thing out on the lake. I don't mean anything nasty about this, but what I'm about to say, erase the phrase. If he's going off of that, the city of Cleveland's in a hell of a lot more trouble than just stadium stuff. If that was what he was referencing there, we better bend over and kiss our asses goodbye.
I tell you just now, I am seeing a ton of reaction on social media, as always brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And I'll just sum it all up. Politician equals bad. Everybody is ripping him for coming on. And his job, I mean, you got to remember what his job is. His job is to not just take up for the county. He's a city council president. So he has constituents. He has, remember, it is estimated, and I had this yesterday on my social media account, and I retweeted, Joe Lowell used to be at the station, and he had a breakdown of the finances for the city. But he estimated that $5 million per year, when you bring in the income tax of all the athletes that play in Cleveland, any of the performers, when you bring in the admissions taxes, the city gets about $5 million a year from all of that net. After what they pay out and, you know, police and all that. So, at the very least, if they move the Browns, that's $5,000 less that they're getting a year. This is a city that cannot have $5 million taken away.
Yeah.
So, understand, at least at the bare minimum, that's what a city council president would be saying. Like, yeah, if you guys take the Browns, we're out $5 million a year. This city... Can you imagine already at what it would appear sometimes the deficits we're running at?
Yeah, so you got to
take away $5 million.
You got to fight for it. By
so
the way,
he's going to come on and make a case.
Yeah, and we are kind of notorious for those taxes. I remember Jeff Saturday took the city to court. Former Colts head
That's
coach
right.
Jeff Saturday took the city to court at one point over it. Todd in Ward 1, you're next up on the Fan.
Okay, so the city might be out to $5 million. How much of that $5 million is spent on maintaining the stadium and giving much too sweet deals to the Browns in order to be there? Blaine Griffin is a publicly elected, taxpayer-funded employee. It is a big part of his responsibility to negotiate in public. And when I hear him say that, it puts his character in question. The Browns, the city of Cleveland, and Brook Park, If it happens this way, to work out a deal so that maybe that same stadium that's going to be in Brook Park could be moved over some, parking included, and part of it being Brook Park and part of it still being Cleveland, readjust the street, readjust the rail, and then Cleveland could still stand to make more money because they could put entities just on the edge or on the property that will give more money to the city of Cleveland. And Brook Park was still stand to make some money.
Well, and Todd, it is a major issue where, and this is why you can't just go, well, they'll put it in Streetsboro in Portage County, or they'll put it in Geauga County. You can't really do that. Well, you
that's
have
not
to.
What I'm saying.
I know that, but what I'm pointing out, what he's pointing out, is that if there was a land swap of some sort, or I don't think you can annex incorporated land, but I'm not really in on the State House Bureau. Lima is. They don't really have the infrastructure to provide what's necessary for stadium events all the time, not just football games. It's like, okay, what are you going to do with concerts? What are you going to do with this and that? Can you always lease that out to other entities?
If the mayor of Brook Park blows this deal, he's going to be run out of the state of Ohio. They stand to make a whole bunch of dough if they go ahead and get this done.
He knows that.
And the city of Cleveland can make a whole bunch of dough, too, if they go along with it, and the county. If they put the things that they need to put around it that are in Cleveland for the benefit of Cleveland, and the county's going to make money anyway and do what they was been saying the entirety of my life.
Todd,
build up the lakefront.
Todd, your connection's getting scratchy. Thank you very much for the call. It was getting scratchy a bit. I understand. Good, strong stuff there.
I am
strong stuff.
I just blown away. Like, it could have been any politician that we had on. The favorability, or I should say lack thereof, for politicians in general, unless they're yours. Isn't that interesting? We always reelect our own, but we hate.
I'm not really like
we
that.
We hate every single other one. I'm just saying, the numbers show that. It's the first thing you learn in any political science class. Like, people will vote their own politician every single time, but all the rest are crooks and they're no character and ego. Like, it is hilarious how we function as voters.
Oh, gosh. Who was the one?
We always vote for our own guys.
Spiro Agnew.
No. There was a newspaper man. He's always on the Ken Burns baseball documentaries, and he mentioned the same thing. He goes, yeah, all your congressmen. Oh, that guy's a snake. Well, what about yours? He's a good guy. I saw him at a fair. Yeah, that's kind of how it works.
Kind of sounds like two guys who just went to a fundraiser and go, what about this coach? And go, my coach is pretty good.
He's like ours right now.
These two guys went to a fundraiser. Yeah. We're in the pocket. That's how it works.
Well, at least it's out there in public.
I've never said I'm not for sale.
Mary Kay Cabot tweeting moments ago, Browns defensive tackle Mike Hall Jr. is in the building at Cross Country Mortgage Campus this morning.
Okay.
And
so we will follow up with that. We will follow up with that.
Oh, boy, the responses.
Okay. We will follow up with that tomorrow. We are back tomorrow, 6 to 10. Mary Kay will join us at 8:20. Have a wonderful day, my friends. And go Guardians.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.